get out in that rain, right?
I should make it kind of nervous, who knows what you're pulling.
Never underestimate the meter.
Oh, okay.
So, what we just heard.
Okay. All right, well, it's 6:30.
Is yours?
It's 6:30, we're gonna call the meeting of the Judiciary Law, the order of second, roll call. Mayor Blau?
Yes.
Gordon Frederick?
Here.
Greg Retzla?
Here.
Michael Spolitsky? Michael Spolitsky? Jeff Wambo?
Here.
Madeline LaCroy?
Here.
Sidney Robson?
Here.
All right, Chairwoman comments, I hope everybody had a happy Labor Day, and next, what's that? Oh, citizen comments, I'm sorry, thank you for reminding me. Okay, citizen comments, if there are any citizens out there wishing to speak, you have 5 minutes, please state your name and address. Any citizens' comments? Citizens' comments? Okay, there are no citizens' comments. So we'll move on to Chairwoman comments, Supervisor comments. Okay, Supervisor comments, any Supervisor comments out? So there's none. So can I make my comments?
Now it's your turn.
Okay, next month, I was just informed by Donna that we did agree that since budget is next month, that we are going to move this meeting to October 12th, and that's the following Wednesday, and it's gonna be at 6 p.m. And traditionally, the Sheriff's Department provides a light meal during the meeting, so I encourage everybody to please attend. We're postponing it, we're moving it back another week to give everybody extra time to review all of the budget items that are upcoming for this committee. And that's all I have to say. All right, so may I have a motion to approve the minutes from August 3rd, 2016?
I'll move to approve.
Second.
That was approved by Supervisor Retzma, second by Supervisor Frederick. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? So, first on the agenda here, resolution from the Kenosha County Sheriff's Department, probationary cabaret license for Sandlots of Salem.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I have here a probationary cabaret for Sandlots of Salem, which was formerly Blair's Park South, I believe, which is someplace that we're very familiar with in Salem. It's on Antioch Road, we have all fields behind the establishment, and have been in business quite some time, but I believe this is now a new owner. We changed the name, which of course they have to go through the probationary cabaret, etc. Officer's been out there, and so as the building inspector, nothing's largely changed, so there would be no objection on our part to proceed with the probationary cabaret for Sandlot.
Are there any questions from the supervisors at all?
This is new to us, right?
The establishment is the same. It's under new ownership with new name. So look familiar, look building in the area. So this isn't something that was built or anything like that. But okay, that's the question.
Any other comments, questions?
It says the owner is not looking to do it, so if he has no musical events, this is basically just in case he has one.
Typically, yes. And at this place, you see a ball field in the back.
Oh, I played there for years.
Yeah. And that's usually it's kind of procedural. So they'll get a probationary and nothing, and then they'll get a regular. And then if they want to have a band or some karaoke or some type of DJ, that's usually okay. We don't have a problem at this place on any regular basis, so I don't anticipate that will change.
Thanks, you. Never had any issues as far as fights and parking lots and stuff like that.
Back when it was called, what was it called before? Blair's Park South.
Water hole?
Yeah.
Top of us, water.
Top of us is sometimes. But enough for, I think the ownership has changed over a few times on it. We don't have anything in particular that stands out as far as crowd control or anything of that nature. I think now it's focused more on the ball.
Any other questions or comments?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve is made by Supervisor Skibbs and seconded by Supervisor Gregor. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair says aye. All those opposed? Think governance?
Could be my brother.
Oh, yeah. Okay, motion passes. Captain Wicker, I'll keep this one, just Julie Sherrill, Swanson signs. I'll take care of passing it on, leaving it on the internet. Okay. All right, next on the agenda, Mercer County Sheriff's Department, after action report on country funder.
Yes, ma'am. Just as we've done in prior years, we come back and give you some of the statistics on that country thunder generated for us this year. We didn't have them ready for you last month's meeting, so obviously I'm here today. I also want to give you guys some of the overview that we had with our new drone camera, a little before and after pictures of the grounds out there. Unfortunately, we were too busy to get it during high time when there was all that nighttime going on, but you'll get an idea of how it's set up based on some of those photos. But again, Country Thunder ran from July 20th to 24th this year at Shadow Hill Ranch. They hosted approximately 35,000 people daily, and I think additional tickets are anywhere between 50 and 20,000 single day tickets were also sold. So there were times on Friday night and then Sunday nights when we were looking at crowds of in excess of maybe 50,000 people out there. The law enforcement effort consists of 2,396 man hours. They covered the event from Wednesday evening till Monday morning on the 25th when everybody finally leaves. Some additional law enforcement was provided by Kenosha Police Department this year as well as Parkside, the UW Parkside, who always usually comes to help us out. The total cost for Sheriff's Department manpower was approximately $145,000. Additional services that were deployed out there, including things like 24-hour dispatching, and some of the bills we got from highway and the health department, et cetera, probably additional $30,000. So we're roughly in the area of $175,000 worth of expense for the weekend. The bond that was posted was $225,000, so we should have no problem covering it. The rest of that money will go back to Country Thunder first next month. Arrests were down a little bit this year. We approximately about 46 from the following year. Most of that probably could be attributed to the weather. We had some heavy storms come through most of the weekend. Thursday night was canceled because of it, which increased the totals of the attendance for the following night because they entered tickets from Thursday to Friday, which was also a bigger act. So I've got some record crowd, if you ask me. 284 total citations and physical arrests were done. 255 of those were ordinance citations in which 220 of those were for alcohol, underage alcohol consumption. That is down a little bit than prior years. Some of the major incidences that we dealt with was one substantial battery, 16 arrests of 16 years of age and under, three batteries to police officers, and 24 resisting obstructing law enforcement officers. Those are up a little bit. We probably doubled our criminal arrests out there this year than past year, and I noticed too this year we also had a spike in the battery police officer. We had three people that were struck. So this year, yes, total of the state charges were 29, total county ordinance are 255, which is approximately 40 less than the year before, which I would attribute probably to the weather. Keep it a little check a little bit more. We had some issues out there with parking, early traffic flow, which we're going to address at upcoming meetings this month with Country Thunder and with the Highway Department. We're going to get some of the highway traffic engineers involved to tell us if there's anything we can do. Well, my concern is with the infrastructure out there is it's starting to overflow. And I know this year Country Thunder employed a scanning system, so they sent out the wristbands to everybody that bought tickets, and they take them, put them on, they come through the gates at the parking, or when they drive in, at the, they scan. So they should have some good numbers for me as far as attendance. However, that slowed down the whole process of getting people into the grounds. So we saw traffic backed up on Lance Drive, both in Twin Lakes, down into Richmond, and even around the west side of the block, because they force everybody, I'll show you the picture soon here, they force everybody through one gate. And that's so they can keep their, what you call it, squared away. Let me see if the data's right.
Okay, this is basically our setup out there. Typically, this is actually last year's setup, but we're very similar every year. We're on the northwest portion of the property. And this is another aerial view of where we're at. So we have access to Sheriff's Command Post from 110th Street. This here road here is an exit from the campgrounds. So we have traffic all around us at pretty much any fire event. This is some of the overview of prior to the crowd getting there. Every campsite, which is five campgrounds, have the opportunity to rent a porta-john.
Is that your drone that took these?
Yeah.
Cool.
And I can, I'll zoom in if you want to see something.
A little bit closer, I'll show you some of the aftermath. This looks very neat and clean out there at this point. But
yeah, it is. It's
yeah, where's the, yeah.
this is Wednesday. If you see this, this is the main entrance that comes off 110th Street. This is looking to the south. And they will bring in five or six rows of cars to these. There's little check-in booths here. And this
that's
is
where they scan.
That's where they scan.
While you're in the car, or do you have to get
while you're in the car? They walk around the windows, they scan everybody that has a wristband. They're trying to avoid any forgeries, but they're also, I think, trying to get more accountability for attendance.
So they only had one entrance that was scanned from.
And what happens here, and you can see, and there will be better pictures of this, after these six lanes, it narrows down into one or two. This here is the roadway to go to two campgrounds and general parking, which is this whole area here. Everybody else that's camping in General 1 and General 2 go straight through the property all the way down to the south. And those that are camping in Preferred, which is over here, have to turn a lot. All right, now I'll explain a little bit more about
so
that.
So where all the bathrooms are, that's campsites?
Yes.
Okay.
And those are...
So we can't see the stage from that photo yet?
No, but right, I'll get you there. This is Preferred Camping, which is due east. This is on the northeast part of the property. This is another one of the campgrounds. This is 110th Street, but it leads up to the main gate. And that's just another view. Now this is some of the pictures of the festival grounds from the overhead. Now here's the main road that comes in from the gate. And then they have to turn left here if they're going into Preferred Camping, or they go straight through all the way down to this area where General 1, General 2 is. This field here is another parking lot. So that'll all fill up when this is all done.
Parking lot, not campground.
Parking lot, okay, correct. This is VIP parking, they call it. The VIPs can come in on the south part of the property. The issue that we get is a heavy traffic flow through here, and plus pedestrian traffic walking in from the campgrounds and general parking, all crossing each other. Is right in this area is the main entrance to the festival grounds, which is what we call this, where all the party is. This is more of the campgrounds. This is yeah, this is they're starting to flow in on Wednesday. Here's a better part of the festival ground that I'm talking about. This is how they set up the festival grounds. This is the west side, so we're looking again from the north to the south. This is where a lot of your pedestrian traffic comes in from four of the campgrounds. On this side, you will get pedestrian traffic in from the VIP parking area, which is up here. And on this side, where it's VIP or preferred camping, they will enter through this little chute here. So majority of it comes in from the west, and that's all foot traffic up through the food court area. They have some rides in here.
Your vendors are all spaced out in here, and then here, obviously, the battery. This is your main bowl area and the main stage area. This bowl prediction is about 40,000 to 45,000 that it can hold. And then over here on the left is your rescue tent and your medics ambulances as for Randall fire stages as well as a first aid station. This tent you see here is what they call the electric thunder. This is an after the main event closes, they open this up and it's nothing more than a DJ, very loud, very much a nightclub style atmosphere. And they will pack people in here. We had problems with this the first Friday because there was only one entrance and one exit. And they had such a crush of people coming in here, we physically had to make a barrier of law enforcement to stop the inflow of people because people get trampled and crushed inside. There's nobody at the gates here watching this thing, which is going to have to change things.
Is there a legal capacity for a tent?
No, I don't believe
like it. Like a building would have?
Because the sides aren't...
you could get out.
Right, under you could actually pull up those sides if you knew it and okay. Run out the sides, but... Kids don't know that, especially at that time of night. They're not paying attention. Just some more aerials of the main areas. I tried to do these up a little bit, about 75 pictures. But same kind of thing. It's a little better picture of the main stage area. Down in here is your VIP seating. It's the only thing that has chairs. There's a wall, about a 4-foot wall, that separates that from the grass seats. Grass is first come, first served. These are all reserved. And it means that back here, these tents here are for like corporate sponsorships, so they'll buy those out for their employees to come and go as they please.
The spikes you talked about, where do they mainly take place?
Campgrounds.
Campgrounds.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, we've been getting fights between customers on festival grounds. Most of the stuff between law enforcement and us is campground related. But we do have issues at the rescue tent. Because believe it or not, rescue feels like they have to treat everybody that they see. And they will bring up to the tent and they will fight with the rescue people being treated. Whether they're being served, whether they're being charged for it or not, it turns into a mess.
It's
anyways, but this is what you see now. This is the main, this is again north to south, and this is the main entrance, and now you see the general parking area starting to fill up, and these are campgrounds on this side, what we call Encore and Miller campgrounds. So that's 2 out of 5. Back here are the other 2 more, and then there's 1 more on the left over here. But unfortunately, I don't have photos of a high traffic time where you see everybody backed up.
You're probably a little busy at that time.
Yeah.
Do they have enough parking for
everybody that shows up? Yeah.
There is enough. They're not on the streets and parking on the side of the road. I haven't been there, so I don't
know. They were when the weather showed up on Thursday night. When they shut down operations on Thursday night, they shut down the gate as well. They took the people off because the safety resistance was pretty nasty. That stopped the entire flow of traffic coming in. And they were parked on the streets all the way around and back into Richmond, Twin Lakes, for about an hour and standing still. So this is kind of the look of the fill up here. This would be looking kind of west.
General parking at that particular time because they didn't know that it was closed.
Well, yeah. No, I don't think they had
more people. They were just
stuck in the line. There was no more personnel. Unfortunately, the roads out there, they're just two lanes. Small shoulders, you can't even put people on the sides because there's nowhere to park or to stop. So that was unfortunate while that was going on, but once we got everybody up and running again, we got to walk the roadway. Just again, more pictures of some of them. This is the other campground, one of the preferred campgrounds. This one actually brings in a little bit, probably a higher price clientele. If you look closely at some of these units that are in here, you're looking at $500,000 RVs, et cetera, that come in there just to party for the weekend, in particular this one here.
And there's no old army truck, beautiful.
Oh, and these all the slide outs. I mean, there's a lot of money there that people are pouring into these campsites.
But they also access from that same.
Everybody comes in.
Is there any ability while you guys have these discussions?
They can exit in different directions, but they have to come in through here because that's what's going to be under the system. This is a north to south view, kind of This is the entrance, and you start seeing the campgrounds on both sides. This would fill up all of with cars for daily parking. And you can see in the back here, that's General 1 and General 2 camping back here. So the only thing you don't see is the VIP lot, which is being on these tree lines. But that's the kind of population you're getting up. It's a small city when it's up here, without a doubt. This field here is green because this farmer actually switches it back and forth every year for rentals. So he plants one year on this side, then he switches it to the other side, and they rent it from on the other side. So that's why it's green. Just some of the traffic flow again coming through six lanes down into two. This would be the flow from right to left. Now, which is, it's troublesome because we can't figure out a way to make it better. All right, this is the aftermath. Like I said, it doesn't do it really a lot of justice from this high altitude, but I have a couple pictures that'll get you a little bit closer. But this is the kind of stuff that's left behind.
It's garbage dump.
Yeah, you'll see porta-johns tipped over. This year, they only burned one of those. Last year, they burned 31. So we did something right Sunday night.
You're darn right you did.
To cut them back on that, because if you look at some of these places, you're going to see furniture that's just left behind. Yeah, and they don't want to take it home, so they just leave it. And, or they start on the fire. And it's a Sunday night ritual, apparently.
Are they allowed to have fires, campfires?
No, no complaint anywhere.
No, I know their parents won't.
Here's an old camper that they probably use for the weekend. So there it's a $1,000 all the way. And this is all private land. This is the farmers that leased this out to Country Thunder. The only thing that Country Thunder owns right now is the festival grounds. And that's where the main stage is and the vendors. They own that part, so they put some improvements into that. But all of this is leased from the area farmers every year. And a lot of them make all their money off of this.
I was going to say, they're obviously making enough to let them come
keep
back.
Doing, yeah.
Who cleans up afterwards?
They have there's some contracted workers. There's a picture of one of the garbage trucks going through. I think this might be some of the workers. But they will come on and start cleaning that out. I don't know how long it takes them because there's
a lot of area.
These campers are a little too new to be sitting there, so I don't know why they're still there. Decided to leave them. Yeah. But you'll see the furniture.
That's so fun.
They'll bring couches and chairs and tents. Yep.
If you guys have never been out there, you really need to go. I mean, it's just, if nothing else, it's an interesting place to see. And they, 99.9% love the fact that we're out there. They don't give you any trouble. They say hi, they offer you beers and food, and they give you high fives as you go by. So we used to have a few.
Show up a little late.
Yeah, this is very typical of the aftermath. These light poles obviously go on.
Are they getting busier and busier every year, or is it basically the same?
This year it was a new management company. Now, from past years, the management that was there off the record would tell us that 30,000-ish people fills the bill for them, pays their vendors or pays their bills, pays their tax, and the vendors can expect a certain amount of, attendance. Nowadays, I think what they're doing is they're just selling daily passes crazy. I mean, they'll have this thing sold off in extra campers by now.
Oh.
Yeah, they all renew their leases on their campsite. A lot of them will scalp too. They'll buy campsites and then sell them to other concert boards later on to get these campsites. That's a big business up there.
Sure.
So what happens is we'll get a campsite registered to somebody who's under there. So we need to address that with Country Thunder too, because we can't backtrack the campsite with backstage site. So there's some things that we got to work out with them as far as accountability. But the new management now, I got the general impression it was sell, sell, sell. daily passes were unlimited. We wanted to come over to concert, and that's why we saw such record crowds. I've been out there since its inception now, over 20 years, and I've not seen crowds that big on Friday night or Sunday night, where the bowl was literally filled to capacity, and they were actually spilling out along the borders to watch the packs. And so there's going to be some meetings to follow up, and maybe I can give you some statistics later on if you want about attendance. But we're going to have to figure out a way to cap their daily attendance. And I think when they get too large, it creates such a burden on the area that it's unmanageable.
So in the bowl, I think you kind of estimated 40,000.
Yeah, that's a reasonable number. That's kind of where it was, yeah, pegged when they built it, about 40,000.
So with the scanning, I would say we've got a much more accurate ability to actively track, and this is in real time, attendance, so we could certainly store a number on that day. Between campers and day passes,
that goes over 40. I agree with that. I think that's a good way to go.
Especially with the scan. But the other part that I look at is that they need to investigate the ability to have vehicles coming in from those locations.
That's what we're trying to research right now.
Easier said than done, I know that.
Yeah, the unfortunate part is we're limited with the way the roadway is structured there. In Arizona, I actually had an opportunity to go out there and tour their operation this past year, and they are in a big desert that's a one-way in, one-way out road that circles around the whole thing. So they can bring cars in and stick them in a different points around that circle, and everybody goes, you know, around that circle. It makes life easy. What happens with here is they're sending the traffic flow straight through the venue, and it's crossing into pedestrian traffic, and it causes bottlenecks, and that's our problem with the traffic flow out there. We can't get them in the grounds fast enough and out of the way.
Does our agreement mention the number of bodies that can get in there?
I don't think so.
Is that something you should look at, or is that what you're kind of saying?
Yeah, I'm certainly going to discuss that with them this year and find out their...
I suppose they're going to that's money to them. They're going to eat. That's not some chump on them.
Well, that's true, but I think when they open up their, you know, other avenues to sell tickets, they just see, you know, the revenue. They're not too concerned about the rest of them.
Well, yeah. Or, I mean, the proposition is, guys, we're stuck at this number. Boost your ticket price up. So.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's expensive. It's
they're making money or they wouldn't keep going.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so if it's got to be capped, it's got to be capped if they're ongoing to invest in what their property can manage effectively again or they're not going to be able to. Right now, I'm sure certain landowners are not going to sell because it's
Would you say four deputies were assaulted?
Yeah, I had three were documented as battered, but
was it anything significant to that?
One of them got an elbow in the eye, the other one got straight punched in the face, caused some bleeding, plus he got spit on, which is an additional charge. The other guy got it in the chest, I think. He got knee or something in the crowd.
I guess I'm asking, you haven't noticed like a criminal element there at all?
No, I mean, in general, this kind of crowd, when they're sober, respect law enforcement and the military, they do. However, give them a few beers, and they're not afraid to tussle with anybody. And anytime we take enforcement action, that's potential is going to happen. Foot chases are every day. We have a slew of fake IDs and people working that. We actually had somebody that was reported to be late taking money at the tent for the check IDs and get wristbands or bribes. She was taking $20, $30 on the side, and she'd give anybody a wristband to get alcohol.
Can they conceal carry on the campgrounds?
They're not supposed to be. But is there guns out there? Probably.
But I mean, it supposedly states that no guns.
It should be in their rules that they can't bring anything to the grounds like that. Being on private property, it's not state law. But in the venue, they should have that in the rules, but I'll double check that. We don't have too many weapons problems out there, but we kept them out there. People carrying, we did have one last year, reason, carrying like a double. public here.
Yeah.
But with the DC that would entail, we won't let it happen. They gotta get rid of us. But yeah, it's something that we've managed now. We're increasing manpower as much as possible. This year, I put out invites to all the agencies in Kenosha County to come out and help us. KPD came up with a half a dozen guys and Parks had to get them.
Are you getting enough? The fact that you have to ask means, I mean.
We are at max with our manpower.
Right.
We allow the supervisor's salary to work out there and they soak up a lot of hours. I get a lot of guys that take vacation to work out there and get the overtime, but then of course we gotta backfill them on the regular shifts. So.
I guess what I'm asking, could you have used more?
Sure.
And they would have paid for more?
Yep, and we could have got it underneath the budget that they are in right now. When I get the final numbers, we'll know if that bond's enough. I think it will be, and I think it will be for the future. I didn't walk at that, so.
Can you go to supplementary guys?
They are supposed to bring in at least security for the festival grounds and the campground areas. This year, I think that number was down on how much they brought in because we had to do some double duties with them at gates.
So we know that really stayed for the.
Yeah.
That helps really important areas.
Unfortunately, security doesn't have quite the impact as law enforcement does. So sometimes they have to deal with things a little bit. But this past year, I got complaints from my guys that were having to stay in that VIP area to keep some of the crowd away from all out of the area that didn't have tickets. And usually that's handled by security. Yeah. So we're gonna make sure that they have enough there. I talked to one of the security groups out there and he said he had this year he had like a fraction of that last year. So I don't know if that's because he didn't have or they didn't hire. So those will all be addressed. I think there's some hard questions. I am happy with the management. They are very cooperative, but they are moving with it. And we saw that with the permitting process, how they were trying to get their permits in. Hopefully that'll change. We should have it all done by April next year. That is the goal. So hopefully they won't have any problems with some of the restrictions we put on them. That tent is gonna be addressed by myself without a doubt because this is safety hazard. And if they want to continue to have it, they're gonna have to have two exits. They're gonna have to have security staff at the entrance and not just open it up for free-for-all. And I know there's some questions from zoning and planning too on some of the structures that they do pretty well with the fence and they've done better in the years over and over again. But the venue is just not set up to really accommodate such a large crowd. It's something that can be done because there's a big bowl there for the main acts, but the way the traffic flow is, the infrastructure out there, it's a difficult proposition. You talk to people in Twin Lakes that can't get one because they're coming up from Richmond after a long time. They get pretty nasty with stuff there. So.
It sounds like it's been getting bigger and bigger over the years. And at the point where it's just going to be too big for this area and that they're going to have to find another location.
You know, without some major roadways, you know, I got a feeling we're going to get to that point. But if we cap the ticket sales at some point, maybe we can level it off. It won't be a problem.
I've gone to my share of shows at Alpine. When I looked at that area, that seems a lot smaller than what Alpine has for an outside venue when it comes to shows. Are they crowded? Is there a potential that it looks like it would be very crowded down there?
Actually, Alpine is smaller.
Smaller? Okay, I was trying to look at the land.
Their main stage only holds about 30,000, 25 or 30. So that's why they like it here. And that's why they bought this property, because they can put more people in this venue. But Alpine Valley doesn't have camping like this.
Right.
And that's why they don't want to move it. They like their campers. It's the same place. They do four of these, one in Arizona, one here, and two in Canada, and it's all the same type.
Yeah, they sold out. I'm on their Facebook page. Alberta sold out in a day.
Yeah.
Already for next year.
And it's a huge camping event. They all come up in a camper in 4 days or whatever it is. And it's no different here. No. So it's just some of the concerns we have going forward. We'll keep trying to bolster the manpower as far as law enforcement goes out there. I will have to go outside this county for help in the future if we're going to get more cops on the grounds. And I think it helped us here a little bit because I think the Sunday fiesta wasn't bad. But the weather also kept us at bay for a while too because of spring.
Is there, given his proximity to Lowell?
We could try, but they have an event at Alpine Valley this same weekend.
Competing promoters are taking a guy like Moses in,
Jimmy Buffett?
No, actually, that's not him.
That was this weekend.
Dave Matthews. And they put him in the same weekend, and now they're talking about doing a multi-day Dave Matthews concert the same weekend.
I was going to say, Dave Matthews.
So, like Geneva hotels are going to be swamped.
And I wonder if, rather than us limiting the numbers, planning and zoning says, this is the amount of space, this is the amount of people.
Well, that's how we feel about it. It'd be all part of conditional use permit. And Andy Bueller and I talk regularly on this issue. So, yeah, that's definitely.
Is Andy, and I don't think it's been like a planning first versus just, building strategy. Between public works and, improvements we need.
I haven't got to that detail with me yet, but he is bringing the traffic engineer. We're meeting with us so we can, study how we can try to change the traffic flow out there.
It's not a small cost.
And a little bit of restriction is that it branches into Richmond. Yeah. And it was out of our jurisdiction, so if we aren't getting full cooperation out there, it's going to be very wonderful. Richmond has a lot more laid back attitude about country thunder when I talk to their chief. he doesn't understand if we evacuate that whole place, Richmond is going to be tidal wave with people. But that would only be an emergency. So we'll work on it. There's a lot of details. Every year we make notes and just look back at them. But so far we haven't run into any real major stumbling blocks with that.
So other than covering all your delayed costs, you guys generate any additional revenue from this?
And well, the ordinance tickets are written through the village.
Well,
yeah. So, because in the bond, the point is you guys put forth, hey, this is what it's going to cost, and you put in some.
Some of the hours that these guys charge are administrative hours, and you don't charge for like some people being out there. So some of the money does come back.
Okay.
But it isn't like we get a dollar per person or anything like that.
You know, because this is an extraordinary circumstance, in my opinion, right? And it's,
yep,
every year, it's not as though this is normal public safety activities, right? I'm wondering whether or not if that's done elsewhere. Is it done in Arizona? With these guys, and I'm not saying to ask them. I'm wondering maybe you can reach out to some of your law enforcement contacts where maybe they run a large weekend event. They got Coos up there in Washington. And just wondering whether that local usually falls in the sheriff's department versus local police department. This is going to be the fee.
Well, it's going to, the bonding post has always covered our expenses.
Yep.
So we return what we don't use to them. If that means, because I think the cushion is built into the point now, and I'll get the final numbers from Nancy when she gets them. We have enough room to expand more law enforcement. I just have to find areas to get them from, right, agencies that will send them. So if we can do that, I mean, there's going to be more cops out there. That's fine by me. I need it more very. It's just a matter of when we're going to get them.
You guys have a certain amount of equipment. There's one there and that. Most of the tearing your guys.
All true. A lot of the equipment that we use out there, like carts and stuff like that, it's theirs. They supply them.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got a couple of our pieces, but most of the stuff that they drive around are mules and things that they supply to us.
And they supply us with the gas, daily ice that we need, garbage removal, lighting equipment.
Pay for the food.
Food, drink. That all comes out of your bond.
We already put in for our guys,
and our guys are fed well out there, and hydrated well. So that all comes out of their bills,
which is good. So it's not spousing the county anymore. Yeah. Stress on the people.
So that part's good.
So this is an example of the schedule out there that I had. It's still on manpower. I could deploy out there every day around the clock. So, and this year, a couple of things that were added was, like I said, dispatcher around the clock for us. We run a separate dispatch out of the manpower out there. And the food service, we went to more professional services here rather than one guy trying to handle all these cops that are coming out there. And that just feel a little bit, but again, it's covered under a country thunder lines that's not our
stuff. Our issue that's there is
still, this is quite lucrative.
There's no doubt about that.
Well,
so my point is there's some challenges we're trying to recover. There's things that we can then now improve. For instance, the other drone. That is, here it's very useful for us, right? I don't know if you use it during patrol or anything like that. Just to kind of keep
restrictions on that, but yeah, we use it for observations like this.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
It allows you to see a large area where maybe something could be
heard. They informed me that cash on hand that's every day out there for them, not including all the tickets they don't want to camping, is over $2 million a day. They call in now. We've worked it out where they bring in an armored vehicle to take that away from them every day. Whereas in the past, we actually guarded their stash. Yeah, which wasn't a good idea. So, as that evolves, they get more professional things and they're getting that money off the property. But yeah, this is a break that for KS more than $25,000.
And I don't know if that's how we apply or not. It just seems to me if there should not opposed to you guys that would those funds to spend elsewhere to keep the tax levy.
Well, they would,
you know, lower because they come and you see pictures of the aftermath. Looks like a flock of locusts just landed, you know, cleaned everything up and then away they go with their multi-millions of dollars. So I don't think it's unreasonable. Or perhaps they contribute to some of the road contributions, right?
Probably like that even more.
That would be, it's a moneymaker for them, so let's not be worried.
Well, to that point, are there any local businesses that benefit from them besides hotels and, I mean, restaurants? I mean,
well,
I don't know.
Twin Lakes is obviously the closest, and I'm sure they get plenty of business overflow from this. They obviously don't have a hotel district. I think they have a hotel. Walworth County, Lake Geneva's back, Richmond, you know, those areas. That's all in a corner of that corner of the area that's going to get this overflow. So,
thank you very much.
You have questions?
How many man hours did you say it was total man hours?
Total man hours was 2,396.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nice night.
Thanks, Lloyd.
Okay, next on the agenda here is Kenosha County Sheriff's Department discussion agreement to provide policing services for the Village of Summers.
I think each of you have a copy of the contract. It's been signed by all parties that have to sign. This is just basically advisory to let you guys make you aware of it. We're going to start this on November 1st and run to the end of the year with one shift. If you look at the back of these two pages, you'll see the three plan. Third from the back is this year's expenses, and then next year, it basically mirrors Paddock Lake, Bristol, Silver Lake, and now Summers. So the whole package, you've seen this before, when you've seen contracts from the other villages. They're gonna start off in 2017 with a second shift patrol. In 18, they're gonna go to a second to third shift. And then in 19, they're going to go to first, second, third. We did discuss that there is supposedly a lot of buildup that's going to be happening along Green Bay Road. We did discuss with them this may have to be accelerated. We understand that. But this is the original plan right here, dealing with this is going to help us tremendously because the second shift is very busy from Thanksgiving until Black Friday, all the way until after Christmas with Walmart. That is almost a district all by itself. So this squad, I don't know if you've been reading the paper, but it's kind of the discussion, that squad is going to be really assigned to Walmart and Sam's. And Sam's has very few calls, actually. It's all Walmart. So it's a very, very busy place.
I'll touch on Salem real quick. If it's okay, I'll touch on Mutual Aid. Salem is, we're in discussions with them to start next year in February. I'm sure you're all aware that Salem is going to become incorporated with Silver Lake, and we're trying to figure out exactly how that's going to, what services they're going to ask for. Right now, Silver Lake is a first and second shift. We're going to work with Salem to see exactly what we're going to, we have to sit down and talk to them. And we know that three of the five board members are extremely excited to ask their current public safety officers to leave now and to bring us in for the remainder of the year. And I said, well, just tell us what the budget is and we'll tell you what the hours we can do filling their ordinances. And they're like, oh, okay, that sounds good. And the water patrol is kind of coming to an end. It came to an end early this weekend, I think, anyhow. So that shouldn't be an issue. So that's something we'll probably be addressing with you in the not too distant future. Their contract will probably mirror this and will be worked off the Silver Lake contract. Any questions about the contracts? Okay. The mutual aid request. And Chair sent me an email. Terry Rose, a question that something got heard or something happened. With mutual aid, the way this works is as soon as Milwaukee calls and says, Sheriff, we need you to come, we need 12 people to come up here. Their insurance, their liability, their workers' comp, all liability now falls on them. Everything that happens with our staff or any staff that they ask that goes up there to help, they actually, our guys leave here, get into an accident, a KR 31, they actually are covering the expenses for that. Because once they request mutual aid, us going to help them, they are covering all of that. Mutual aid happens all the time. You guys just don't see this all the time. Do it, one of our biggest people we do it with is the city of Kenosha. They come out and assist outside the city limits with traffic stops or different things that we're doing. We come in the city of Kenosha and help them. That is not mutual aid because we have co-jurisdiction there, but Twin Lakes comes outside their jurisdiction to help with some different things. Walworth will come. The tornado hit a few years back. Walworth and Racine State Patrol sent people down to, but it really doesn't work for them. Their mutual aid, I mean, they helped us. If we have a hanging in our jail, we request mutual aid from officers to go assist and do the investigation. If we shoot somebody like we did in last October, we request mutual aid and another agency to come in. So the transfer of mutual aid, I just had a meeting today with Major General Dunbar from the National Guard, and also the director for EPS, that's Todd Nails. He was actually a sheriff of Dodge County. He's the state EPS, Emergency Police Services Director for the state of Wisconsin. I'm actually the director for Southeast Wisconsin. Milwaukee's having these issues. Todd said Milwaukee's requesting 100 officers. This is at 10:30 in the morning, and you get them there at 6 o'clock at night. So I have my web of people that are emailed from all the different departments in five counties. I sent it out. And within 2 hours, I had 40 people lined up, and the number was still growing. They were starting to get people in, and then they canceled because they had enough for that night. We did send our armored car up there, and our armored car actually saved the teenager that was shot. Our tactical team went and got him and threw him in the back and dragged him out and got him to a safe spot. That's great. So mutual aid, there's no way that any police department or sheriff's department can handle everything thrown in. So the fact that we have all these other resources, like the fire departments, you hit the neighbor's box and everybody comes running. And that's the great thing about law enforcement too. I think it's even gotten better in the last 10, 20 years of, a lot of times if we have an accident at the interstate or Racine has one on the interstate, they're sending people as soon as they start hearing about it. And we're doing the same thing for them. We're sending resources up to them before they even know we need help. We've already got help on the way, they do it for us, and Walworth does the same thing. The Racine Sheriff's Department, us, and Walworth work extremely well together. And it is whatever you need, we're gonna send in help. So, I don't know if, does that answer your question?
Yes.
I don't know if that answered Mr. Rosa's question. But.
Well, just for clarification, Supervisor Rosa asked me about the incident up in Sherman Park in Milwaukee, and there, Mercer County's tactical response to them going up there, his concern was who was liable for any injuries, you know, incurred by our staff, you know, if they're going up to help them off. And so Sheriff Pat was here to provide a response to his question, which I'll provide an update during our supervisor, our next meeting.
And I did include him in the email too.
Yes, that's on that. So thank you.
That's all I got.
Right.
Thank you guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay.
I appreciate that.
Any other businesses allowed by law? Motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Where you got it at?
All right, motion to adjourn. Supervisor Stansky.
Yeah, second. I'm out of here. I got big things tonight.
Just was sure.
Did everyone sign this?
I got a fantasy draft.